we signed on 1 week before the official sign-on date and did some test programming. And I was the announcer. It was 9 o'clock or so on either Monday or Tuesday of that week, and I don't remember the day exactly now. But we were rolling through our regular programs as if we were on the air, and the chief engineer flipped on the transmitter, and on one of those 2 days, we actually broadcast over the air for the first time, and I was on the air when it happened.
Well, this brand new station came on in December of 76, and there had been a classical music void in this area, in the Birmingham area, for about, a decade at least, since the former commercial classical frequency changed formats. I think it was in the late 60s. Is that right?
It was somewhere around then, and I don't remember all of the details, but I got to know Jim Malonis, who had been the owner and manager of that station.
Yeah. How was WBHM received in 1976 with that void, so many years without classical music on the air?
It, as far as we could tell, with the feedback we got from the community through the pledge drives that we did and through the ratings data that we got, it was received exceptionally well. People embraced the station almost immediately. We had a very strong connection with the arts community in Birmingham, particularly with the Birmingham Symphony, which was then known as the Birmingham Symphony before it became the Alabama Symphony Orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
We worked very closely with the theater, with the various museums in town. Yeah, the response was just overwhelming.
Do you remember a specific broadcast that sticks out in your mind on WBHM?
Well, I mean, there were some things that I was personally very fond of. I remember doing an interview with violinist Henrik Schering, who was one of the great violinists of the 20th century, and he had come in to play with the Birmingham, or maybe it was the Alabama Symphony by then. We sat down and talked for, I think, nearly an hour in his hotel room and got to hear his perspective on what it had been like for his concert career.
The city of Birmingham, Alabama, has been put in a very prominent way on world's musical map. And this is something to be grateful for. And in that, it, I was among the artists who, after the first visit here, believed that this was a great city for music and that it might be even a greater city for music. And this is exactly what's happening now.
A fascinating man to talk with.
Yeah.
I remember working with Lewis White, who was the news director in those days. Well, he was the assistant news director to start with. And then eventually when Betty Lee left the station, Lewis assumed the role as the news director. And he did fascinating interviews all the time, some of which I got to be lucky enough to be involved in. But some were simply the interviews that he did during the noon news program. And I remember one of his recurring guests was Don Black, who was the Grand Wizard, whatever his title was.
Sure he was.
Yes. And Lewis White was African-American, Don Black, KKK. And they would sit together in the studio. They would do these interviews for 10, 20 minutes. And afterward, they would sit around and chat and laugh like two good friends. It was the most amazing thing I had ever seen.
It's interesting to hear about Lewis White, too, because I remember so many times that I would see Mr. White at Birmingham City Hall and in other circles here in Birmingham, and he would always ask about public radio and how we were doing. So he was always interested in WBHM, even after he left. Given the changes that you've seen in the past, do you think listeners are ready for the new technology, and how do you think they'll take it?
Oh, yeah, I think our listeners are probably, if anything, are the early adopters. I mean, our listeners are the ones that have really demanded high-quality audio over the years. We've constantly heard from people at every station I've worked for wanting better sound and also wanting more programming. I mean, this is the frustration I've had as a programmer over the years is they're only 24 hours in the day. And unfortunately, we can't bring you an NPR News talk program on Tuesday afternoon if we're already broadcasting classical music. That's been the limitation that we've had over the years. And now, with HD radio, we can send 2, 3, 4, who knows how many programs at the same time. So, classical music listeners, here's your channel. And here's your opportunity to enjoy the music you love. And NPR News listeners, we've got a channel for you, perhaps. And I think that's a tremendous opportunity, and it's one that public radio listeners, I expect, will embrace very quickly, especially as the price of receivers comes down.
Any 30th anniversary thoughts you'd like to extend to WBHM, to this radio station?
Well, congratulations on making it through 30 years. It's been a very, very challenging time for both public radio and the radio industry in general. We've talked about the support issues and how technology has evolved during that time. And it's been just marvelous for stations like WBHM to provide the kind of community service that we as public broadcasters can provide. It's a gathering place for all of us who are interested in the life of the mind, in great music, in great art, and in in-depth news. And stations like WBHM bring the community together, even though it may be geographically diverse, ethnically diverse, and diverse in so many ways. And so congratulations on providing that kind of service, and may it thrive and grow for 30 and 100 years more.
Tom Goodell, the current general manager now at WUKY in Lexington, Kentucky. Thanks for joining us today.
Glad to be here. Thank you for inviting me.